Hi, welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman. I'm joined today by with Thomas Fennell, program manager in the Windows Phone team, who works on live tiles and notifications and the new lock screen.
Yep.
Thomas is going to tell us a little bit about what's new for developers in Windows Phone 8, specifically with regard to those features.
Yep.
So tiles.
Yes.
One of the most important
new
most important
feature, Larry.
For developers, yes, because this is the thing that allows a Windows Phone app to really give an end user the ability to customize their phone.
Yeah, it's a great tool for developers to be able to plug into. I mean, there's nothing like it on any other platform. I mean, it's so much more than just a way to launch an app. It's an actual window into an app. I mean, there are times when a tile can do everything for you. You don't need to launch the app because the tile is so engaging and so interactive that it gives you everything you need to know.
And yet it fits into a structure that's clean and, and consistent as opposed to widgets on some of the other platforms I know.
Yeah, and it's going to get more consistent in Apollo. In Apollo, we're in Windows Phone 8, we're going to make it so that people understand that tiles are meant to be for everyone. They're not just for first-party apps anymore. We're extending it so that third-party apps, that everyone can take advantage of some of the great features that we've always had in Windows Phone. And now your experience as a developer will look much more integrated into the device than it's ever been able to before.
Now, we showed this a little bit back in June. We showed that we're adding small tiles and large tiles that allow you to customize. But we didn't talk about what developers can do.
That's right.
And that's what you're going to tell us about, right?
Right. So in June, we talked about the fact that there's new tile sizes. And that was really exciting for most people, the chance to customize so that they can fit more stuff or have more information for different tiles. I mean, we've always had the wide tiles, but those apps in Windows Phone 7 were only ever wide tiles. They could never be changed. We never know to resize. Not only are we bringing the ability to have the multiple tile sizes to developers, but we're bringing developers new templates to go along with it. So instead of just the current template they have, they might know it as standard or flip, we're going to keep those template for developers. They're going to get the multiple sizes with it, and they're going to get two new templates to go along with it. So they're going to get a cycle tile template, which you probably recognize from the Photos tile in Windows Phone 7. That's where images cycle across the tile. And you're going to get the iconic tile template. And the iconic tile template is the same one that first parties use today. It's literally the same template. It's not changed. It's not a copy. It's exactly what the first party expects.
This is huge news because today, or prior to the release of the Windows Phone 8 SDK, if you wanted to have this functionality, you had to compose that bitmap on a server in your own server application.
Yeah. Well, you had to like replicate the experience. And honestly, there's apps out there that do a great job of replicating the experience, of making it look like
we have
the
some
the
innovative developers.
Yes, they're good. They're
They've
very
had
good.
To work around our limitations.
Exactly. And I was quite frankly tired of them having to work around what we should have given them from the beginning. And I'm very happy to be able to give them the real template that lets them get that great iconic, very modern UI style.
So there's three different features you're going to walk us through. You're going to talk about the tiles.
Right.
Then you're going to talk about a new custom notification feature.
That's right.
And you're going to end up by showing us what's happening with the lock screen.
That's right. You can do stuff with the lock screen now, too.
This is pretty cool. Do you want to start walking us through some
of
this?
Yeah, let's go through let's start with the tile stuff.
Let's look here on your computer.
Okay, so you're seeing my screen right now, and I've got two emulators up because one of the stories I want to make sure I tell is that you don't have to have multiple assets to deal with the different resolutions. So we've talked about the fact that now in Apollo we're going to have multiple screen resolutions, and one of the things we're enabling is for you as a developer to keep that story very, very simple. So what you actually see here on the right is the WXGA emulator. What you see on the left is the WVGA emulator. But this asset that's on this tile, this is my app using that new iconic template, is the same asset over here on the WVGA emulator. I supplied one asset, and the system took care of making sure that it looks right on all the different resolutions. And that applies to everything you do with tiles. What we're going to ask developers to do is give us the WXGA assets, and then for all the other resolutions like 720p and WVGA, we'll scale them down. We'll take care of it all for you just to make your life as easy as humanly possible.
So that's 400 by?
It's 336 by 336 for square, 336 by 691 for wide, and 159 by 159 for small.
I imagine you've been working with those.
Yeah, a little bit. And then there's numbers that are different for iconic as well. But we'll have a good table out on MSDN that describes how all of that works. But
Fantastic.
The key story is one set of assets for WXGA, and we'll scale it in all the other resolutions. So what you can see here is a regular medium tile. Everybody's pretty used to this. This square tile we call medium. And this asset is a true iconic asset. It's not a full bleed image. It's actually just an asset with some transparent regions in it that's been centered automatically.
A transparent PNG.
Transparent PNG. And you can see it matches the other assets on the system. It's the same aspect. It's used in the same way. And if I scale it down, you can see that it also gets small, just like the other ones in the system would.
Right.
If I make it bigger, it gets wide, just like the other ones in the system would do. There's no difference between your app and a first-party app when it comes to their tile template now. So for now, let me go ahead and shrink this guy back down, and I'm going to launch the app, and we're going to do some stuff with this tile. So one of the really great things is that you get the ability to update your tiles from within your application, or you can do this from a background agent, or you can do this from push notifications. We've made it so that all the tile update techniques, even scheduled tile update, which we did a really, we needed to do a better job with than we did in Apollo, than we did in Mango, can take all the new tile templates that I'm going to show you. So you have a lot of choices for how you update your tile. You can do it on a schedule. You can do it from a background agent every half hour. You can do it from a push.
What we're looking at here is a sample app that you've created that allows you to actually leverage and programmatically change the template on the fly?
So not change the template, but update anything.
Okay.
Any tile that I've got, I can update it. I can change its content that's on that template. So that's a good point, actually, Larry. When you create a tile, that tile stays with that template until you decide to delete that tile and recreate it. So it's easy for secondary tiles. I can delete and recreate them at will. For your primary tile of your app, which is what this tile is, this is really the primary tile of my application. That's the tile I got by going over here, tapping and holding on this and saying pin to start. You need to make sure you pick the right template that you really want for your primary tile, because once you've picked it, the way to change it is to update your app.
I see. Okay. But secondary tiles,
you can delete and recreate them at will, and you can delete it and create it with a different template than you had before.
I see.
Yep. So let me go ahead and just update this primary tile. This is really easy. I can show you the code later, but clicking that button will update the primary tile. When I go back out to start, you'll see that that primary tile has now changed. And I want to explain what happened. So clearly what I did was I updated the count. So you saw that beautiful count animation, just like the first parties get.
I did.
And then I also updated the title. I'm just being silly, right? This app is called The Final Countdown. It's counting down from 10 to 0. But what you also notice that changed is I changed the color to blue. And the way I was able to do that is we actually let you override the theme color for the iconic tile template so that you can have your brand color showing as well, because we recognize that brands have worked very hard on making sure that they have colors that signify who they are as a brand. I mean, Windows Phone, we do this as well. That's why we're so careful about the theme colors and everything that we pick. So we wanted to make sure that if you have a very strong brand and a brand color preference, that you can have your brand logo on our iconic template like this, but also have your brand color shown and override the theme color that the user may have picked. So it's still clear to the user, even though they picked a red theme, maybe like I have here, that maybe this is, you know, the Skype app because it's the blue Skype color, right? So it's very recognizable color. And so I updated all the sizes of that tile when I did that update. I sent it a small, a medium, and a large update, which means that now when I resize to small, you can see that you still
get
the beautiful count.
Available.
Yep. You don't get the title anymore on small, but you still get the image. And then in wide, we've got this beautiful new layout for wide. You can see the text kind of animate in on there. You get up to three lines of text. The first line's a little bigger. The other two lines are the same size. You get more room in the title, and you still get the beautiful count and the icon. And this icon is exactly the same icon as in small. So for this template specifically, you actually only give us two icons. You give us a small one, and you give us a medium one. And we reuse the small one in this scenario for small and wide, and the medium one, of course, for the medium size.
That's fantastic.
So there you go. That's the iconic tile template. That's a primary tile just to prove that you really can do everything with secondary tiles too. I'm going to go ahead and pin a secondary tile that is basically a duplicate, and I'm going to go ahead and update it. And you'll be able to see that there's no difference between what you can do with primary and secondary tiles. They're completely identical. So the power that you get for your tiles extends across any tile type that you want to create. So now let's look at some of the new templates as well. For example, let's do a cycle template. So, or actually, we can go ahead and do a flip template. So in Mango, we call this standard tile. Mm-hmm. This is the tile that flipped over. It's still the same tile. It's almost completely unchanged, except for the support for the small and the large sizes. So I'm going to go ahead and pin one of those. You can see that it's just, I've actually got an image of the Earth as seen from the Apollo 8 mission when they were orbiting around the moon. If I make this small, I've decided, oh, it flipped over before I got a chance. So I've got some text on the back saying what the picture is. If I make it small, I've actually got the Apollo 8 mission patch showing. And if I make it big, I've got a different photo.
So as the developer, you can denote these assets that get used.
And you get to pick, you know, whatever asset you want for whatever size you want. And you can see I actually have different text on the back of the wide size than I have on the back of the medium size, because it could be different images. So we wanted you to be able to have different text describing what's going on.
I see.
And I'm going to go ahead and update this one just so you can see quickly.
The flip template supports this periodic update.
They all do. Any template you want to use, you can do updates in the background. You can do it from push. They all support all the different types. And on MSDN, we'll have new XML payloads. that you can use. We'll have the new properties that apply to each template if you want to do it in C#. We've made it as expansive as we could in terms of how you can do it. And you can see I just updated the count. I updated the image that was on the front. I updated the text that was on the back. I actually updated the image in kind of all three sizes to be a different image, even in the small size. I updated the image.
Okay.
So they're all independent. It's very, very, very flexible. Now, you could choose to just do one or you know, the medium image only or the wide image only. It's up to you. But one thing we want developers to keep in mind is when you use a wide image or you use a wide tile in general, make sure it's got something very, very important for the user on it. Because for the most part, wide tiles do take up a lot of room, and users aren't going to have too many wide tiles pinned to start. So if you're going to take advantage of a wide tile, we encourage you to do that, but do something a little more interesting probably than what I've done here, right? I've just shown an image. Like, a really good scenario for a wide tile is if I want to show you the weather forecast on part of the tile, as well as maybe a radar image of the next couple of days on the other side of the tile. Like, give the user a lot of information on a wide tile when you can.
Okay.
Keep it clean, but make sure that you take advantage of all that room that you've got there. So now that's the flip tile. So let's do a cycle tile. That's another new one that you haven't been able to do yet. I'm going to pin a cycle tile. And on the cycle tile, you get to specify 9 images. And these 9 images do need to be local images. And what that means is you can't tell this tile to go get images from the cloud for you. On the other tile templates, you can. On this one, you can't do that because we wanted to be conscious of the user's data plan. We know that retrieving images from the cloud takes quite a bit of data. And when you can put up to 9 actually very high resolution images on this tile, we didn't want to start hurting the user's data usage.
Now, you could programmatically do this in the context of your app.
Exactly. What we really know that people will do is they'll take advantage of things like our resource-intensive agents, which means once the phone is plugged in and it's on Wi-Fi, it can go get a bunch of images. You can store those in your app, and then you could just cycle through them every half hour using a periodic agent or something. That's probably the best scenario for the cycle tile. And we expect people to use the cycle tile for things like feeds from things like Facebook photos or just any kind
right.
of social feed scenario would be really good. Now you can see I put some images on here and they actually cycle through, and these images are the same between the medium and the wide size. So it's one set of 9 images. And when you decide to change the tile size, we crop and shrink the image.
And there's a bit of a Ken Burns effect going on there.
Yeah. And we kind
of... Can you control that at all? Or
The cycle is controlled by the system.
Okay.
It is... roughly about 4.5 to 5 seconds between image cycles that
okay.
go through. And if you replace images partway through a cycle, it'll finish cycling through the image before it switches to the new set.
It's essentially
images.
Identical to what we have on our photos.
It's just like the Photos Hub.
Okay.
It's exactly the same experience. It is the same template as the Photos Hub.
Great.
Okay. So I mean, if we really want to, I can go ahead and update this guy. We're kind of pushing the boundaries for what my pathetic sample app does, but
that's okay. I mean, the whole point here is to show people what they can do as developers.
Right. And so I just updated it with some launch photos now, and so you can see there's a bunch of beautiful like motion and animation going on in the screen
right.
for the different tile templates. So now you've seen the new templates that we can provide in Windows Phone 8 for live tiles.
That's amazing. And what's really important to note here is the fact that we've given people the ability to create much more beautiful tiles mm-hmm. that leverage a lot of the same functionality as our tiles
right.
to give end users a better experience with their apps.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be... The developer audiences that we've talked to so far before now have been extremely excited about this. I mean, I've been getting requests to have the iconic tile since release 7.0, and I can understand
right.
why. I mean, you get the beautiful count animation with it as you add and remove things from it, like the image slides over, it slides back. I mean, it's all very visual. It's
right.
very motion-oriented. I mean, it's the essence of Windows Phone is shown, you know, in your tile.
It so. Really exemplifies the design system.
Yes, absolutely.
So we also wanted to look at new custom notifications.
Okay, so we'll talk about the lock screen a little bit then. So
why don't we go through the features, and then we can come back and look
sure,
at how
sure,
some of these
sure.
are implemented.
So one thing that you can do now in the emulator, which you actually couldn't really do before, is you can lock it. You can lock the
I
emulator.
I can lock my emulator.
It's great for developers because now, since we're going to be showing them things they can do with the lock screen, it's important that they be able to lock the emulator.
I'm glad you guys thought of this because it'd be really hard to test.
You could test it on a phone, but it'd be hard on the emulator. So if you hit F12 now, it's screen went blank because the phone's it's equivalent to hitting the power button on the phone.
I see.
Hit F12 again, screen unlocks. And this is the typical Windows Phone lock screen you're used to seeing. This
right.
is an image. This is the time. If I had a calendar appointment, it would show up underneath here. And then you just slide it up just like you would. Now, because my app takes advantage of this, I've actually plugged my app into being able to provide information on the lock screen.
Yes.
I've got a button here that basically signifies, take me to some settings.
Okay.
When I click this button, it's going to take me to the control panel for lock.
Wow. So we have a launcher now for
exactly.
this.
And it's actually just this very simple custom scheme that just launches out to the control panel for the lock settings. And there we have it. It's just that easy. So this is deeply, deeply integrated into Windows Phone. From a user's perspective, they'll go to this screen almost as if it's part of your app. It's a very integrated experience.
We're talking here specifically about the scenario of being a custom notification provider.
Right.
Because your app now can actually provide notification information that shows up on
exactly.
the lock screen.
Right.
Directly.
That's why you would want to take the user to the lock screen CPL so they can pick your app is one of the things.
Got it.
And this aligns very nicely with Windows 8. Windows 8 is very similar in the way that they do this. They let you choose what goes in what we call a content slot on the lock screen, and I'll show you that in a second, and also a notification slot on the lock screen, which shows like the count and stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and pick my app as the provider. You can see, just like the other system providers, my app is listed in the
right.
list, the final countdown. This is the content slot. This is where text shows up. And also has the ability to be one of these small icons on the lock screen as well.
Right.
So I pick my app. You can see my rocket ship is there for the final countdown.
Love the rocket.
And we're not going to do this yet, but we'll come back and we'll do this in a minute. So I've done that. I've picked my app as the app that should be these things. I go back to it, and I'm going to update the primary tile just to make sure it's up to date. So actually, let's even do this. Let's just up the ante a little. I'm going to unpin the primary tile altogether.
Okay.
So the primary tile for the app doesn't even exist. Why is that important? Well, because the stuff that we put on lock for you, the stuff that you get to put on lock, is the same stuff that comes from your primary tile. So the count on your primary tile, the text on your primary tile, those are the things that are going to show up on lock if the user's picked you to be on
those
lock.
Those are important notions to understand.
Absolutely. Well, just so nobody thinks I'm cheating, right? Let's just go ahead and do this. There are no tiles for this application pinned whatsoever
okay.
to the lock screen, right? So the only way I can get to my app is to go to it in the apps list. Not pinned to the start screen. I'm gonna update my tile, but my tile's not there. But what I'm still able to do, even though my tile's not there, because my app is allowed to be on lock, because the user has chosen that, you can see I actually got content on the lock screen.
Wow.
This is the same text that was on my primary tile, exactly the same text, and this is the count that was on my primary tile. And even though I wasn't on start at all, the user still said this app was important, and that's why we're still letting you update your primary tile.
Now imagine a common use case here would be that you would want the developer to prompt the user somehow about the availability
Absolutely.
Of this feature.
Yeah.
Simply because we don't allow you to, as a developer, automatically set
right.
these settings. And so therefore, you have to have a dialogue with the user about it somehow.
Exactly. It's similar to the Windows 8 story. The one slight difference is that Windows 8 actually provides a system interstitial that says, do you want to allow this app to be on the lock screen?
Mm.
We don't provide the same interstitial, but we do let you put your own dialogue up that says, you can choose my app to be in the lock screen. Let me take you to that place.
Right.
And very easily take them to the control
Take me
panel.
Now.
Right. Exactly. So
that would be a common pattern.
I've put this on the lock screen, this content and this count on the lock screen. And now, even though I don't have that on start, you're still getting great information from the tile on your lock screen. So this is taking glance and go to the next level. Before it was glance and go at my tiles. Now I can glance and go at my lock screen. And I think these scenarios will be very popular for instant messaging apps,
mm-hmm.
apps that want to give real-time content. Just imagine being able to see your latest notification from WhatsApp here, your latest count of missed messages from WhatsApp right here
Got it.
On your lock screen. It would be fantastic. Okay, so let's talk now about backgrounds.
Okay.
So the background here is just a system set background. Let me go back into my app, and I want to show you this whole other pivot that I've got over here called the lock pivot. So this lets me do everything that I can possibly do with the lock screen, in terms of lock screen backgrounds, the images that go on the lock screen.
You know, we really should publish this sample at some point.
Okay. Well, if we can get somebody to sign off on PM code, then I'm absolutely happy to publish it. So in the same way that the tiles settings let you go automatically to the CPL, we've gone a little deeper with the lock screen. Quickly, I'll just show you that if the user was to go to the CPL, they could pick my app.
Mm-hmm.
So they could do it manually. But instead of just doing it manually for lock, we've gone a level deeper, and I can actually ask the user. When I click this button, this is going to be a system dialogue
that
gets presented. Do you want to let this app be your lock screen provider? And if you say yes, which I'm going to do, now that's it. It's that simple. And if I go back to that CPL, you'll see that automatically we did that for the user. So now my app is chosen as the final
Great.
Countdown app. Now, to showcase another feature, I need to kind of make sure the app's not running. I want to take you there from the other entry point so you can see how this works. So notice that when I launch my app, typically I'm taken to the tiles pivot. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to launch my app actually from the lock CPL. So this is the reverse of integration.
Oh, interesting.
Now. So now that this app has been chosen as the lock screen provider, if I click this button to open the app, it's going to launch my application. So that makes it even easier for the user to set it up. And I grabbed the parameters that get sent along with it just to show them. And you'll notice I use those to automatically navigate the user to the lock section of my application. So this even further increases your app's discoverability. That way, if people go into the lock CPL, they see your app
right.
has been installed as an app that can provide wallpapers. They choose it. They can open it right then and there. And you can automatically navigate them to the place in your app that does lock screen stuff for them. So lock screen should still should actually now be set automatically to the default lock screen that I provided in my application. Because I asked the user, can I be the lock screen provider? They said yes. And in my package, I made sure I included an image that was the default wallpaper for my application. So if I lock the device now, there you go. So that's an image of the Earth.
Wow.
It's just that easy. And if I want to, I can very quickly and easily set another image. So I'm just going to say, set an image. This is another image I happen to have in the Zap package.
Now, I imagine a scenario where application developer may very well want to have this image be composed somewhere dynamically.
So what we recommend that people do, because especially when you start to think about the multiple resolution story, WXGA is pretty big. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big image that you're going to end up with. 768 by 1280 is a lot of pixels. So obviously, you're not going to be able to store a lot of those in your app realistically. You should have somewhere in the cloud, ideally, that you can go pull those images from, put them on the device for the time that you need them, and then set them as the lock screen.
I hear Windows Azure is a good option.
It's a pretty good place to do it. Yeah, I think Azure would be a nice place to host something like that. And this integrates really nicely with things like the photo chooser task. So this is something that a lot of developers are familiar with, right? I can go choose an image from my photo library. I like the number 8. That's a good number.
You could do the camera chooser, I suppose, too.
Yep. And then I can just automatically save that as my lock screen.
Beautiful.
Like and we've got an app we play with internally that basically lets you pick a list of images, like 15 images, and then it cycles through those every half hour. When the agent wakes up, it just changes the wallpaper for you in the background. So that way, it's a really nice experience to kind of keep the lock screen fresh and alive. And we have grand aspirations of people using this feature to even give live content on the lock screen. So imagine a sports app that could tell you the sports score in almost real time on your lock screen.
I mean, there's every half hour.
Oh, it's a lot of really great scenarios. Even a lot of people want this for weather apps, right? They don't want to unlock their phone. They just want to be like, what's the weather like right now? They want to look at their lock screen and see sunny, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
That's a great point. Wow. You could change the picture based on what the weather is.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you have it. That's what you can do with Lock.
That is an amazing set of features. Now, we've gone pretty far here because these features are so awesome. I would love to see some of the code behind some of this.
So let's try and pick some simple snippets to show actually how easy it is. And I don't think we can get through all of it, but we can do the simple parts. So let's start with some of the features in Tiles, actually. This is going to look really familiar to a lot of people who have worked with the Tile API in the past.
Where am I in the code here? Am I on your main page?
Yeah, this is just the code behind my main page.
Okay.
Just trying to get down to the code that does any tile stuff, which is actually really simple. It's just a bunch of buttons, right? So you saw the buttons that I was clicking to update the tiles. When I click the buttons, this is what I do. I call this tile helper guy that I got, and I basically pass in all the arguments that you saw. Right?
I see.
This is the stuff you were seeing on the tile. And
what
then,
is Tile Helper? Is that something you wrote?
Yeah, this is a little simple guy that I wrote to help me do this. Basically, pass it this stuff, and I pass it what I want it to do with that stuff. So in this case, it's a flag that says update. It might be create if I hadn't created one before, delete if I'm trying to delete it. And then I'll show you in the actual Tile Helper. See, this one was actually calling iconic tile. So tilehelper.iconicTile maps to this guy, the iconic tile helper. Just takes in all those same arguments. And if you've used any of our tile APIs before, this is going to look very familiar. I mean,
yes,
this
it does.
Is
shell tile.
Just like what you've done before. It's just updated with new templates. So instead of standard tile data, right, now this is iconic tile data, right? It's usually here you'd see something like standard tile data in Mango apps. Now I've got iconic tile data. Iconic tile data has its own set of properties. Very familiar title count, the content strings that you saw, images that I want, and then that background color that I showed you where I can specify this. And this is just, you'll see here, I just pass in basically a system color. For the background color. If you give it any alpha other than 255, it means we should clear it for you. If you give it an alpha of 255, it means use the color that I'm giving you.
I see.
And that's it. And then based on the flag I pass, either I'm creating, updating, or deleting, this is no different than Mango except for one key difference. Now in shell tile.create, you need to use this new overload that lets you specify a bool for true or false, which is, do you support the wide size or not?
Okay.
So you say true, it means I do want a wide tile. You say false, it means the tile will never be able to be resized to wide. We want it to be an option because we know that not everybody's going to have content to put on the wide size. We want to make sure that people use it intentionally. If they want content on the wide size, make sure you opt into it using true.
Great.
And that's it. And then, I mean, there's other helpers in here for flip tile, right? I mean, but they're all very similar because they're all, you know, just updating properties
sure.
for different templates.
Now, I also wanted to ask you about primary tile because I know we defined some of this in the WMAP manifest file.
Right. Good point. So let's actually open. So one of the beautiful things about using the new version of Visual Studio is if I open the app manifest, I get the designer. This is the
wow.
manifest designer. So I don't
well,
have to go
quite
edit the
different.
XML. Much different than what was in Mango. Very easy for me to go out
Windows
to a direct...
Windows Phone
7.5, forgive me. Very easy for me to go pick images out of what I have in my project. I can specify the resolutions I want to target.
Obviously, and now the Marketplace test kit will test the presence of these too.
Yeah,
as well,
like
right?
it will make sure that you've got images that you say you've got actually
right.
in your package for you before you submit. In this case, these are the two images. I mean, I know they look identical, but trust me, one of them is a smaller size. One of them is a bigger size. You can see when I hover over them.
The designer doesn't show that distinction.
In different places, yeah. right. And it's this easy to set up your primary tile. You fill this stuff out, and you've got your primary tile set up and ready to go. And for a lot of apps, this might be as far as they go, but it's still nice if they want to take advantage of the, you know, the kind of very iconic look that Windows Phone has. Now at least even their primary tile, even if it's static, can look like it's part of the built-in apps in the system.
That's great. So what about notifications? Is there anything
oh,
else in
yes.
tiles? Or
So let me show you. So what we showed you for the lock basically relied on something we call app extras.
Okay.
So for my app to be able to say, I'm able to do things on the lock, it needs to opt into some app extras. And I'll show you what those app extras look like. For that, we're actually going to open the manifest in code.
I see.
And if you look at these extensions that I've provided down here, these define essentially the capabilities that my application has for the lock screen. I have the notification icon count. That's the little icon that let me have the number. I have the text field, which is the content slot. And then finally, I have my background, which is letting me put images on the
okay.
background. Based on which ones of these you put in your manifest defines what will show up in those CPL areas. Right. So when I went into the control panel, I could choose my app in those different places. These all map.
Are there capabilities I have to define too?
You don't need any capabilities for this.
Okay.
This is purely done through app extras, through these extension elements that we've got here.
So I've defined those. Then what's next?
Exactly. So in this case, if you do these two, so the text field and the icon, right? That's actually all you need to do. As long as you keep updating your primary tile, if the user's got you pinned to, we call it pinned to lock now. If the user got you pinned to lock for either of those two spots, then that stuff just happens automatically for you. You don't have to think about it. For the lock screen, that's where you do have to do a little more code. When it comes to the
lock... You're saying that the let me just get this, see if I get this right. You're saying that for those... I maybe didn't get them right, but let me see. For those areas, is simply being handled by the same mechanism that's being used for tile data.
Yes. As long as you update your primary tile, you just do what you've always done, which is to update your tile, your primary tile, the count, the content, stuff like that.
Okay.
We automatically map that
All
to
right.
the lock
so
screen.
Step one, implement this as a tile.
Absolutely.
Step two,
make sure you get the right extensions.
You get the ability to do this in the lock screen.
Right, and you know we'll have some very clear mapping as to what text fields from the tiles map to what the text on lock shows
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
So. All right.
So finally, wallpaper. So for the wallpaper, let me just find where that stuff mostly happens in my code. I was just going to show you the simple one that I do that everybody's probably familiar with, right? So this is the one where I went and picked an image out of the photo
get
library.
New image.
Right, and this guy basically does, this code is literally lifted from the MSDN. Right?
Yep.
Like just photo chooser task, go find the one you want,
yep.
return the result. Write, all I'm doing is writing it to isolated storage, and then I'm calling my little wallpaper helper, which I've been lazy. I haven't broken this guy into his own CS file, but I will. It just calls this wallpaper helper, passes the image URI, so the URI to the image in isolated storage.
Okay.
And another flag that tells me what I want to do. And so
let's look at your helper.
This is it. So right below it is the helper. Just falls down into the case statement. The case is pick. It falls through to do this work right here. And basically what I'm doing is first I'm making sure that I've got access. I'm requesting access. Even if I already have access, I'm just going to go ahead and ask for it again.
Okay.
If I've already got access, that dialog that says can I be your wallpaper provider won't show up.
Okay.
Right? If I haven't got access, this will make it show up. Then assuming that I do have access, break into this right here and basically set the image. And it's one call, set image URI with the path to the image in isolated storage. And that's it. And I write a debug line right after that. But that's it. That's all there is to it.
Wow.
One call, set an image, done.
So then the next thing that someone might want to do here is actually implement a background agent to do some of this work for them.
Right. And in the background agent, this is the one API that you don't want to call. This actually will be disallowed from a background agent. Because like, if your agent wakes up, we don't want you prompting the user for some
dialogue.
Yes,
that's right.
But you can check this in your background agent. You can check if you're the current provider. Because that way, at least in your agent, if you find out, oh, I'm not the current wallpaper provider, don't do work. There's no reason to try and do work when it's just going to fail anyway.
Great. Well, Thomas, these are amazing new features that I think every developer who's writing for Windows Phone will want to know about and be very excited about. And we'll look at getting your sample code out there.
Do you want to hear a secret?
I would love to hear a secret.
Okay, so the one thing that we haven't talked to anybody about so far, but it's shipping part of Apollo.
Is Windows Phone 8?
Windows Phone 8 is that if your application is using, let's say, a background agent to update its tile or to update its lock screen, and the user hasn't launched your application for 14 days, do you know what happens in Windows Phone 7.5?
Your agent gets turned off.
Your agent expires. Guess what's going to happen in Windows Phone 8? We don't turn your agent off.
Wow.
We will automatically extend the life of your agent for you. If you're doing something useful for the user, because you're pinned to start, the user said that app's important to me, or you're pinned to lock, the user said that application's important to
me. They don't have to go back and run the app.
Don't have to run the app.
This makes a lot of sense to me.
Automatically extend the agent's life cycle for you as long as you're being useful to the user.
Well, that's great news.
Very
good news.
Thank
you for sharing your secret with us.
Absolutely.
We look more, this is a very exciting new feature in Windows Phone 8, and thank you for spending time with us today.
It was my pleasure.
And, I think the level of integration we're doing here is amazing and just a sign of things to come. Letting developers do the things that we do in a very simple, integrated manner to deliver outstanding and value for the end user.
Yep.
Thank you, Thomas, very much. For
pleasure.
Inside Windows Phone, this is Larry Lieberman and Thomas Fennell. Thank you for watching. We'll be right back.